The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hey strangers, this isn't an ad, so please don't skip it. Did you know that your favorite podcast success hinges on download numbers? It's true. Advertisers sell ads based on episode download numbers. Without spending a penny, you can help your favorite shows by going to your settings in your podcast app and making sure new episodes download automatically. You don't have to keep them. Once you've listened, you can delete and free up that precious space in your phone. Simply go to your favorite podcast feed, for example, Strange and Unexplained with Daisy Egan, click on the menu button and open the settings and make sure the download option is on. Subscribing also helps. You don't even ever have to listen, though I hope you do. Visiting sponsors using our special discount links is also really helpful. You don't even have to buy anything, although it's also super helpful if you do. But just visiting the sponsors with our code helps. Lastly, leaving a quick review and giving us 5 stars is a huge help. The more and better ratings a show has, the more likely they'll show up in the recommendation lists. It costs money to make these shows. Research, editing, hosting, advertising, everything adds up. So that's just a few quick and free ways you can support your favorite shows and your favorite podcasters and keep getting the content you love. If you prefer supporting us through Patreon, you are more than welcome. Our Patreon page is patreon.com/grabbagcollab. And please be sure to add the Patreon link to your RSS feed and still download those episodes. I know it can seem daunting. I am a Luddite. It sounds a lot more complicated than it actually is, I promise. If you Google it, you can find plenty of useful walkthroughs to help you get set up. So subscribe, download, visit sponsors, and tell a friend. Thanks all. Stay strange. Do you suffer from nyctophobia, fear of the dark? How about thalassophobia, fear of drowning? Arachnophobia, spiders? There are about as many phobias as there are things to be afraid of. And if you're lucky, you don't have too many. But I'm afraid, some might even say I'm phobic, stranger, that after today's episode, you might have just one more. Welcome to Strange and Unexplained with me, Daisy Egan. I live in Rhode Island, which is not actually an island. Confusing. Indeed, there are many confusing things about Rhode Island, including, but not limited to, completely unique and very not legal or safe driving habits. No, you're actually not supposed to turn left as soon as the light turns green when there's oncoming traffic. New York system wieners, and coffee milk, both of which I'm told I have to taste to understand, and which I have successfully avoided for 2 years now. I don't need to understand everything. Even though we are not technically an island, we are still mostly surrounded by water, which means, of course, lots of bridges. Rhode Island is the smallest state, but still has hundreds of bridges, including 5 major bridges that people use every day to commute over the Narragansett Bay. And strangers, not all of those bridges are structurally sound. The Washington Bridge, which carries thousands of commuters every day, largely gave up the ghost 6 months ago, making an already awful traffic situation even worse. They say they're fixing it, but it turns out I'm not a huge fan of having to traverse a bridge that already broke in a one-ton vehicle on a daily basis. I would literally rather take a rowboat at this point. We also have an old drawbridge that broke or something in the 70s and now just lives in the bay, standing upright and just rusting away. People seem to think it lends character. Last month, we witnessed the absolutely terrifying collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which took the lives of 6 people. It's almost as if investing in infrastructure is, I don't know, essential? Do you know they have an expression in Maine reserved for tourists asking directions? You can't get there from here. Sorry. Obviously, they just want to keep all the lobsters to themselves because, as we all know, you can get almost anywhere from here, wherever here may be. But in the inimitable words of Dr. Ian Malcolm,
your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
If the good goddess above wanted us to cross that body of water, she would have put a land strait there. Unfortunately, though, unless we want to swim across all of that water or take our chances in little boats, bridges are the best way we have figured out to cross bodies of water, giving us an advantage over, say, a chicken trying to cross a road, or a person in a homemade dinghy who has to travel 5 miles downstream just to cross 10 feet of water. Just imagine if there'd been a bridge across the Delaware when Washington led his troops across to fight the Redcoats. As it was, the other side had plenty of warning, just sitting there, waiting for him to get there in his little boat. Bridges are a marvel of engineering, when engineered correctly, that is. A bridge represents humankind's ingenuity and imagination, as well as our insistence on looking at obstacles and being like, psh, I can conquer that. Plus, there really are some that are beautiful to look at. The Golden Gate Bridge, for example, that seemingly rises from the water and ascends into that famous San Francisco fog. Or the gorgeous brick structures that hold up the iconic Brooklyn Bridge. I myself enjoy a stroll across the Brooklyn Bridge on one of those exceedingly rare nice days in New York City, watching busy lives bustle over it, thinking of the generations of New Yorkers who have set foot on that bridge, and trying not to think of Woody Allen. The Charles Bridge in Prague, with its Gothic statues and cobblestones, took 45 years to build and has been around for over 625 years. The Menai Bridge in Wales is thought to be the first major suspension bridge ever built back in 1826, which is remarkable when you remember that they didn't even have calculators back then. Each of these bridges, and so many others the world over, are extraordinary feats of gravity-defying stability that have revolutionized the way humans travel and move goods around. We humans are determined problem solvers and obstacle removers. Where a body of water blocks our way, we build a bridge. Even if said body of water is nearly 5 miles across and 49 fathoms deep. The Mackinac Bridge is one of the longest bridges in the world. It spans the Mackinac Straits, which connects Lake Huron and Lake Michigan, effectively marrying the upper and lower parts of the Michigan Peninsula. Before the bridge was ever conceived, the Algonquin people, who predated and were ultimately, displaced by European colonizers, set up summer trading posts at what they called Michilimackinac, or Place of the Great Turtle, probably because Mackinac Island is shaped like a big old turtle. Seasonally, the Algonquins would conduct trade and handle business while socializing with others from far away. Following the colonial rise to power and the systemic murder and marginalization of the Algonquins, the area remained an important trading hub. In the 1800s, the Mackinac Transportation Company was established to operate a railroad car ferry service across the straits and officially connect the two peninsulas. Once the Industrial Revolution brought increased automobile traffic to the straits, an auto ferry between Mackinac City and St. Ignace was created. This service would carry up to 9,000 vehicles daily, causing traffic backups that would stretch as long as 16 miles. Hope they packed a lunch. And then, the Brooklyn Bridge opened in 1883, and bridges kind of became a thing. Still, it wasn't until the 1950s that plans for the Mackinac Bridge were finally underway. The bridge opened in November of 1957, and the first cars crossed the 5-mile length of what is still the longest bridge in the Western Hemisphere. Have you ever been to Michigan in late September? I haven't. Though I did spend a few weeks in February in Detroit once, a mistake I do not intend to duplicate. Ice knives from the sky, stranger. Ice knives. And while maybe not ice knives from the sky cold, late September in Michigan isn't exactly hot. While Rhode Islanders are still sunning themselves on the local beaches by day and sleeping at night with their window ACs blasting directly at their underwear-clad bodies, temperatures in Michigan might drop to a chilly 50 degrees, especially as evening comes on. And with this colder weather and the threat of the snowy season beginning just around the corner in October, come high winds and ice. According to the Mackinac Bridge Authority, the Mackinac Bridge, called by locals Big Mac or Mighty Mac, rises 552 feet above the water. At that height, ice on the bridge is inevitable. Big Mac closes at least once a year due to falling ice from the bridge towers. According to science, bridges freeze faster because of the air circulation around the top and bottom. They don't have any earth or rock insulating their underside, so the air around them cools faster. And wind speeds over the water are higher for some reason, and the higher up you go, the faster and gustier the wind gets. So yeah, again, Michigan, cold. Cold and windy. So, so windy. How windy is it, you ask? Windy enough, perhaps, to blow a car right off the bridge.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
At 5 miles long and over 500 feet high, we know that the Mackinac Bridge is mighty. We know high winds and literal ice knives from the sky can cripple the use of the bridge on its worst days. It was in these kinds of conditions that on September 22, 1989, 31-year-old Leslie Ann Pluart made her final fateful crossing across the Mighty Mac. It was a clear and bright afternoon when Leslie headed out to see her boyfriend, Frederick Burton, a construction worker who'd just moved to a new apartment in Gould City on the Upper Peninsula. Leslie had a busy work schedule, waiting tables and working for UPS, and the couple commuted back and forth most weekends to see each other. She'd taken a break from college, but held on to dreams of returning and becoming a dietitian. Leslie was crossing the bridge that evening to meet Fred's mother and see his new apartment. She was heading excitedly toward her own blossoming future on the other side of Big Mackinac. Leslie Pluart never made it across. As twilight fell on the Mackinac Bridge, temperatures dropped and the wind kicked up to 35 miles per hour. Leslie sped across the bridge, going just over 60 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone. Why so fast? Was she just trying to get to her destination? Was she in a hurry to get past the windy bridge and the fear it often instilled in so many who traverse it? Or was she, like most of us, not really paying attention to how fast she was going? Just as she was approaching the center apex of the bridge, Leslie lost control of her Yugo
and four lanes of commuters watched in horror as the small blue car swerved out of control and veered off course, striking the railing. The car then skidded along the outer railing for about 40 feet before it struck a vertical suspension cable and flipped over the side, plunging the 552 feet into the icy depths below. Listen, I saw someone trip and fall recently, and when I tell you the way I ran toward them to help, you'd think they were on fire. I can't even begin to imagine what I would have done if I'd been witness to this horrific accident. Like, what do you do? What can you do? It took the search team 4 days to finally locate Leslie's car. The search and rescue team had to use sonar to discover the vehicle perched on a ledge about 150 feet below the surface of the straits. Which is strange, because if they knew where the car went over, wouldn't it just kind of be below that point? To be clear, I'm not ragging on the brave folks who risk their lives to do search and rescue. I'm ragging on reality for being so scary, I guess. The harrowing recovery effort took days and would reveal a disturbing story about Leslie's final moments. An autopsy revealed the grisly fact that Leslie was likely alive when her car hit the water. Nope, no thank you, not today, Bob. I'm fine. I'm good. I was good before learning this fact. I can't imagine anyone not having a fear of drowning. Like, the whole suffocating underwater thing cannot be anyone's idea of a good time. But my fear of drowning, like my catseratophobia, which is so strong I can't even define it for you, you'll have to Google it, is getting so bad that I don't like putting my head underwater in the ocean. I brave it for the sake of my kid who loves playing in the waves, but I deserve to be crowned Parent of the Year for that shit. I hate it. The awful truth is, whatever injuries Leslie sustained in the crash through the guardrail and when her car hit the water weren't fatal. Sue Atwood, Forensic Administrative Secretary at Blodgett Memorial Medical Center in Grand Rapids, said of the accident, quote, "The injuries suffered by Leslie Ann Pluhar as her 1987 Yugo crashed into the Straits of Mackinac might not have been fatal if she had not been underwater," end quote. I mean, obviously, if she'd fallen from that height onto solid ground, she very likely would have died. But honestly, as fucking awful as that no doubt would be, I would rather that than dying submerged in water and trapped in my car. Atwood also said that the forensic pathologist who did the autopsy found that, quote, "the cause of death was multiple injuries to the head, chest, and abdomen and asphyxia by drowning. Her death was a combination of the two, injuries and drowning," end quote. The Chicago Tribune published an article about 3 weeks after the accident saying, quote, "Pluhar died in the most spectacularly frightening and awesome manner that any Michigander could imagine," end quote. So much for dispassionate and neutral reporting. I mean, not that they need to be overly clinical, but that strikes me as a bit over the top for a newspaper. Anyway. Following the shock of the accident and Leslie's untimely and awful death, questions swirled, as they always do, about the events that led to the accident. We humans like to understand the why of it all. That way we can convince ourselves that the same thing will never happen to us. Theories emerged ranging from mechanical failures to environmental factors. Some speculated that Leslie's speeding contributed to the tragedy. The police report stated that, quote, "Ms. Pluhar, 31, of Royal Oak, was driving 55 miles per hour to 63 miles per hour across the 45 mile per hour bridge when her car hit the median and then spun over the side," end quote. But surely Leslie wasn't alone in driving over the speed limit on the bridge that day or any other day. When I drive over the crumbling Washington Bridge here in Rhode Island, if I dare dip below 55, inevitably a 2002 Ford F-150 with a "Don't Tread on Me" decal on its back window will accelerate directly into my bumper while the driver shrieks obscenities and gives me what I can only describe as the hand. Think of the middle finger, but, you know, just the whole hand. A lot of Italians here in Rhode Island. There was also the usual speculation in the face of an accident where someone loses control of their vehicle. Was she impaired in any way? Was alcohol involved? But the autopsy showed a clean toxicology report. There were theories that pointed to design flaws in the bridge itself, but in the investigation that followed, no such flaws emerged. The prevailing theory, though, was that the wind had blown Leslie's little imported car, a Yugo, off the bridge. A chilling thought that struck fear into the hearts of Michigan's upper and lower Mackinac commuters. For the record, the Yugo, which someone wrote a whole book about titled The Yugo, The Rise and Fall of the Worst Car in History, was a tiny roller skate of a car weighing just over 2,000 pounds max. For reference, my Prius weighs somewhere around 3,000 pounds, except now I'm putting rocks in my trunk to weigh that shit down even more. The Chicago Tribune reported, quote, in 64 million crossings over the last 32 years, no one had ever driven off the bridge, not until Leslie Ann Pluhar did it 11 days ago as twilight fell on the gusty, rainy Friday evening of September 22nd, end quote. As investigations unfolded, the community anxiously awaited some kind of explanation that might ease this new fear they probably never considered before. Leslie's family wanted answers and accountability. But the truth remained elusive until, eventually, in their official report, the bridge authority and investigators roundly refuted the wind theory, saying, however popular an idea it was, it simply could not be true. Basically, because they said so.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard-of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
An article titled Accident Report Claims Ms. Pluhar Was Speeding, published in the Argus Press in November shortly after the accident, reported, quote, in several ways, the report's findings contradict witness accounts about high wind conditions and Ms. Pluhar's speed, end quote. The problem was, aside from the idea that going a few miles over the speed limit could cause such a catastrophic crash, authorities couldn't come up with a better idea, attracting the criticism of local representatives who sought hard explanations for this seemingly inexplicable tragedy. According to the article in the Argus Press, Representative Bart Stupak, a member of the House Transportation Committee, said, quote, we're still caught with the idea of why did the car lose control to begin with, end quote. And Tom Green, not Canadian actor and Drew Barrymore's ex-husband Tom Green, chief of staff for Senator Richard Fessler, said, quote, this report says nothing at all. There are no conclusions at all. Nothing along the lines of don't do this because it might happen to you. Some people would say they're trying to put the blame on her for speeding. Everybody speeds. Even the governor's car speeds, end quote.
Well, okay, but just because everyone speeds doesn't mean that in this one instance, the person speeding didn't run into the exact right conditions to lead to her car being picked up like it was a Hot Wheels. And also, which is it? Is it that the report has no conclusions at all? Or is it that they're trying to blame her for speeding? Because it can't be both. Also, it's perfectly reasonable for an agency responsible for the things that cars go on to be like, hey, maybe just obey the speed limit? It's there for a reason. But witnesses lent credence to the idea that the wind blew Pluhar's car off the bridge, or at least out of her lane, forcing her to lose control of her vehicle. The Argus Press article reported, quote, several people said they thought they saw the wind lift Pluhar's subcompact Yugo or reported being buffeted by the wind themselves. Yet police officers investigating the case said the wind speed was not exceptionally bad based on officers' past experience with high winds on the bridge. The Mackinac Bridge Authority recorded a 35-mile-per-hour wind on the bridge when the accident was reported. Though rain showers and wind gusts of up to 48 miles per hour were recorded less than an hour earlier. End quote. Have you ever felt a wild wind move your car around, stranger? It is unsettling. There's a stretch of road between Los Angeles and Las Vegas that is always windy, and I'm always mildly terrified driving it. You can feel the wind push your car. I always worry I'll get pushed into the other lanes or off the road, but getting swept away 40 feet? That never even occurred to me. Until now. How high do the winds have to be to sweep all four wheels of a car off the ground? Well, according to people who know such things, pretty high. There was a presentation at a 2003 American Meteorological Society conference on severe weather damage assessment that discussed this very matter. At the conference, Schwindlin, Hammer, King, Miller, and Fujita, some probably famous in their field meteorologists, got together and gave a presentation called Wind Speeds Required to Upset Vehicles, where they shared their conclusion that a minimum speed of 87 miles per hour was required to cause a car around the weight of Leslie's Yugo to slide from a resting position. It would take a minimum of 100-plus mile-per-hour winds, they assured conference-goers, to flip a car. That's a lot of wind. But you know me, stranger, I'm no wind expert. It certainly sounds highly unlikely that Leslie's car was just blown off course. In a blog entry titled Mackinaw Machinations for his blog Peace of Mindful, Mark Tokarski noted that the stretch of bridge Leslie's car got swept off of isn't asphalt like most of the rest of the bridge, but rather steel grates that, quote, allow for the bridge itself to weigh less and to be less affected by resonant wind stresses, end quote. Which I think is just an overly complicated way of saying it helps the bridge not sway too much in the wind. Some have wondered if Leslie felt the wind kick up on the bridge and panicked, stopping her car over the steel grate lanes where a strong updraft of wind picked her car up and threw it over the bridge into the water. Would that kind of circumstance be a perfect storm of conditions to make Leslie's car uniquely vulnerable to the high winds? Regardless, no witnesses saw Leslie stop at any point on her journey over the bridge, and while that is a vivid theory, it is, unfortunately, just that. No updraft would be strong enough to lift a car, even a Yugo, let alone one with a person and her luggage inside of it. Don't take my word for it, just refer back to the fascinating findings of meteorology supergroup Schwindlin, Hammer, King, Miller, and Fujita. And what about motorcycles? I imagine that there are a few crazy committed bikers who might ride in the less than hospitable seasons in Michigan. Bikers are rebels, after all. You can't tame them. The average motorcycle weighs about 600 pounds, so less than one-third the weight of the Yugo Leslie drove. There is no official record that I could find of how many motorcycles traverse Big Mac in September or any other month, but I did see some TripAdvisor warnings suggesting that the high winds are intense on a motorcycle. So, if the wind never blew any motorcycles off the bridge, how could it have taken Leslie's car?
Well, where there is a mystery stranger, there will be wild speculation. The steel grate slash wind gust theory isn't even the most far-fetched idea about what happened that day to Leslie Pluhar. Mark Tokarski speculated in Mackinaw Machinations, quote, "Maybe Pluhar didn't drive north that Friday afternoon. Maybe she is still alive and under a new identity. Maybe she turned over her Yugo for someone to smash up and dump off a barge right under the bridge. Maybe the witnesses were shills. Maybe the officials handling the case were cherry-picked from around the state because they would cooperate with a hoax. Maybe the bridge authority allowed the scam, so long as their bridge did not get scraped up too much. Maybe the family played along with the charade, took the modest payout, and got on with their lives as quietly as they could." End quote. Okay, sure, Mark. Why not? Oh, wait, I'll tell you why not. Because they found her body. Granted, her body had somehow gotten free of the car at some point and was found even deeper down on the river floor, but still, there was no denying it was her body. I mean, can we do a little better with our half-baked conspiracy theories, please? And maybe let's not implicate the heartbroken family of the victim while we're at it. Or maybe it was aliens! Just kidding, it wasn't aliens. And it probably also wasn't an elaborate hoax or conspiracy, unless Mark Tokarski knows something I don't. Was Leslie some kind of spy? Informant? A mafia stool pigeon? Was she on the run, escaping an ominous pursuer with ill intent? Why would people go along with some random woman's scheme to disappear herself? Surely in the ensuing 30-plus years, someone would have come forward and admitted to being part of the conspiracy. Sadly, all these theories and speculation have led us no closer to the truth. The worst part of that is the lack of closure for Leslie's family. Following the accident, Leslie's family did what any grief-stricken family would do and retained a lawyer, suing the state of Michigan, the Michigan Department of Transportation, the Mackinac Bridge Authority, the New York architectural firm that designed the bridge, and Yugo for wrongful death. Listen, we all know that money won't bring back a dead loved one. Money can't buy happiness. But it can buy a lot of ice cream and vodka, and more importantly, therapy, to deal with the grief. The defendants insisted that the freak accident was somehow Leslie's fault and had no chance of being repeated. Nevertheless, the state settled out of court in 1994, citing mounting costs as the reason for ending the suit. Or is that just what they want you to believe? That's the thing about having money, though. You can pretty much buy your way out of whatever jam you've gotten yourself into. So, while the defense held fast to their claim that no responsibility fell at their feet, they did acknowledge, at least through their settlement, that their 6,000-page report could not fully explain just what happened. But don't worry, folks, it couldn't possibly ever happen again. The money the Pluhar family received was surely cold comfort to them after losing their daughter. And what about Fred, Leslie's boyfriend, with whom she'd been discussing marriage, didn't just lose her. But according to the Violent Ends podcast, Fred's own mother died of a heart attack just 4 days after Leslie's accident. Fred's world was turned completely upside down in a matter of less than a week. But, stranger, despite the officials' insistence that this was a freak accident that wouldn't ever happen again, it's possible that only 3 years after the Pluhar family was awarded their settlement, it did happen again.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
On March 2, 1997, 25-year-old Richard Allen Darabin was driving over the Mighty Mac when he accelerated to over 65 miles per hour and swerved wildly, launching himself and his Ford Bronco off the side of the bridge and into the water below. Richard's family, like Leslie's, filed a wrongful death suit and an investigation was opened, the results of which conclusively and sadly pointed at suicide. Richard, as it turned out, had stuff going on. He was distraught over a recent relationship that had ended and was, it seems, buckling under the pressures of an apprenticeship program he was involved with. Life is a lot sometimes. It is easy to look around and think everyone else has it together or that other people have a solid handle on things, especially for young people. But I can attest, the older I get, the more I know that most days life is just controlled chaos, and we are all just doing the best we can. No matter who and where you are, life can be overwhelming. It can be so overwhelming to some of us that we think it would be better to just press the eject button. It is heartbreaking to think that a decision made in a split second could end things for one person forever, while simultaneously creating a never-ending source of anguish for others. But when you are in the throes of an existential crisis, one thing that is very hard to come by is perspective. Whatever Richard Darabin was thinking that day as he ascended the Mackinac Bridge, he probably didn't have a whole lot of perspective as his foot pressed down on the gas pedal. According to an article in the Chicago Tribune, quote, State Police Colonel Michael Robinson said investigators could find no other explanation for why Darabin was traveling 20 miles per hour over the speed limit, then suddenly turned hard to the right, skidded along the bridge rail, and pitched over the side. End quote. There was no evidence of the brakes being applied. A toxicology report was negative for drugs and alcohol. Richard's family was understandably devastated and incredulous. They disputed the ruling, stating there was no way he would do such a thing. After all, hadn't we seen this kind of thing before with Leslie Pluhar? But what family wants to believe their beloved child would willingly drive off a bridge? The court disagreed with their claims of negligent bridge maintenance and circumstantial danger and declared that Richard Darabin had driven off the bridge intentionally. There would be no satisfaction of any kind for his family. These two tragedies, paired with Mighty Mac's extended length, may be what instills such fear in many a Mackinac Bridge crosser that the Chicago Tribune article from 1989 tells us, quote, The Mackinac Bridge Authority maintains a timid motorist program in which bridge employees will get behind the wheel and drive panic-stricken motorists across the span. Last year, some 400 motorists availed themselves of this service. End quote. The service continues to this day. And to be honest, if I was crossing that bridge, I would take them up on it. Not just because I'm a scaredy cat, but because that is just too good an opportunity to miss a nap. Do you think it would be rude to the driver if I was like, take it real slow, Jack, reclined my seat all the way down and snoozed for the 5 mile stretch? Despite the fact that a program like this is basically a municipal acknowledgement of how intimidating Big Mac can be, and in spite of the still unexplained nature of Leslie Pluhar's accident,
According to the Mackinac Bridge Authority's website, motorists have absolutely nothing to fear. Their old mantra is still the company line. Quote, "No vehicle has ever blown off the Mackinac Bridge. Despite the rumors and legends, it's never happened." End quote. Oh well, if you say so, then it must be. I don't know, stranger. Somehow I'm not so convinced. My kid says he definitely did not eat that gallon of Warwick ice cream death by chocolate, and that's definitely not why he threw up all over the place. But, like, the evidence sure seems to say otherwise. For now, let's all put a bunch of rocks in our trunks and stay on solid ground. Next time on Strange and Unexplained, is it any wonder that a site of unspeakable violence and death is still teeming with the souls of those who lost their lives in the battle there? Are the ghosts of Gettysburg doomed to wander that hallowed ground forever? Strange and Unexplained is a production of Three Goose Entertainment with help from Grab Bag Collab. This episode was written by Eve Kerrigan and me. Editing help from Amber Hunt, and sound engineering and mixing by Henry Lavoie. If you have an idea for an episode, head to our website, strangeandunexplainedpod.com, and fill out the contact form. I will write back. For more amazing content, join us at patreon.com/grabbagcollab, where for just $5 a month, you'll get all the Grab Bag Collab exclusive shows, and for $8, you get those, plus Amber Hunt's Crimes of the Centuries and Strange and Unexplained, early and ad-free. Grab Bag is an all-female and non-binary-owned profit-share network where our contributors get to keep ownership of their shows. We strive to give a platform to those who might not be able to land themselves on a bigger network. Who knows, maybe you have a podcast idea you'd like to pitch to Grab Bag. We've got live recordings, watch parties, book clubs, and more. Why there's so much going on over at Grab Bag Collab, you'd wondered if we missed the memo on how capitalism works. Join me on Instagram at SNUPod, Daisy Egan, and Grab Bag Collab, or head to the Facebook page to join in the conversation. If you like the show, please visit a sponsor with our unique code, give us a quick review and 5 stars, subscribe and download and tell a friend. If you don't like the show, it's free to keep your opinion to yourself. Stay strange.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelda providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelda can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Xelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.